Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We've a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves.
Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today's show is all about outdoor screenings in the age of the coronavirus. Indoor cinemas all around Oregon have been closed down for months now, trying to keep the public safe. So more and more moviegoers have gone retro. They've been flocking to a once-endangered species, the drive-in theater. We'll be talking to a few organizers of outdoor screenings, but first, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. Because we're staying safe and trying to get those COVID numbers down, we are not in the station to take your calls right now, but you can show your support by giving online, kboo.fm. KBOO is one of the very last media outlets that still brings you local and independent news, music, and public affairs. We've been doing this here in Portland for over half a century. And this program has been coming to you for nearly 17 years now, inviting important cultural figures into the studio and venturing out to events that might fly beneath the radar of the big media monoliths. So yeah, you can support this very special programming today by going online to kboo.fm/give. Or if you like, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And now let's go to an outdoor screening at Portland's South Waterfront.
My name is Amy Theberg. I'm the owner of Revel Events, and I am the producer for the Unbound Cinema Drive-In for the Portland Art Museum and the Northwest Film Center. The drive-in was created in our post-COVID world as a way to gather untethered and dissolve implied boundaries, wrap our arms around and uplift cinema and each other in our many forms. When we are unbound, we are open to seeing stories from different places, people, and perspectives. Blending cinema classics, indie favorites, new releases, nonfiction, animation, and art across the genres and styles, it speaks to the unboundedness of where we're headed next. So we used to produce, or still do eventually produce, the Top Down Film Festival on the rooftop of Portland State University. And we had a great relationship with Zidell Yards and the Zidell family through the Portland Art Museum and the Northwest Film Center. So we decided what is a safe way to bring art and film together. And we decided that with the two partnerships, we could come together to create a safe and fun way to enjoy the moving image arts. It was about 5 years ago, they did do a drive-in series down here, tandemed in between Cirque du Soleil and Winter Lights Festival and a few other events they use this space for. But it's very special because they do really truly use it only about once a year. And the only way to get this beautiful view of the Ross Island Bridge and the Tillicum Bridge and the river is truly just to be invited. So it's a very special place. I do think that eventually the South Waterfront will continue to move north, but for now we have this beautiful place, so let's use it and enjoy it. So at Top Down, it's a completely different beast because we can have food vendors and drinks, and you bring your blanket, you can snuggle up with your sweetie. And this event is completely different because when we were still in phase one in Multnomah County with COVID continuing to rise in our area and our world, the safest way to do things is to stay contained in your vehicle. And so this is a great way for people to be able to still enjoy and appreciate art, getting out there and interacting with your community, but still being really safe. We have a completely contactless event. So at the box office, you're identified by your license plate number, not, you don't walk up to a box office or anything. It's completely self-contained. The parking is completely self-contained with signage and direction. And then we can order snack packs ahead of time. So that if you did want to get concessions, you can get those right when you arrive and then enjoy them safely from your car. The only reason to get out of your car here is to use the restroom, and we just ask that everybody uses a mask so that we can keep each other safe and ourselves. We're having to get very creative during COVID times, and this is my first drive-in event. Although I did work on a drive-in protest for the NAACP early on in COVID, which was kind of similar, but it was more of a parade than a drive-in. So I think that I want to make sure that people, no matter where they're coming from and what their situation is, are able to enjoy entertainment safely without feeling like they're taking a big risk by leaving the house. So this feels very good because I feel like it's giving a great opportunity for lots of different kinds of people to be able to enjoy it. So it definitely takes a village. We have 4 people from the Northwest Film Center that we're working with to make this happen. Everybody from the executive director to the marketing team to the projectionist. And to Ben, who is programming, like we mentioned. And then we have outside contractors like myself, who are professional event producers, to go ahead and make sure that the event is smooth and as safe as possible. I think the inspiration that Ben Pop had was to just create as many opportunities for as many voices celebrating Oregon cinema, celebrating people of color, women, directors, artists, producers, writers, and just trying to bring as many voices as possible. I think that this series is a true series. Every single film is a piece of a larger pie of a story that's trying to be told. There is a push to be able to open movie theaters the same way restaurants have been able to open. And that is a petition that's going around, and that may or may not happen. So until we get the go-ahead, we just have to get creative with the drive-in. We'll be extending into October and bringing people movies as long as we can, as long as our weather cooperates, as well as offering online opportunities as well for people to be able to watch cinema online.
Amy Theberg, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoy the movie.
That was Amy Theberg, owner of Revel Events, at the Zidell Yards Drive-In on Portland's South Waterfront. More information about the Northwest Film Center's Cinema Unbound programming can be found at nwfilm.org. Just a quick moment now to remind you that KBOO is in the midst of our all-important fall membership drive. And you can join up today at any level, $5, $10, or $20 a month at kboo.fm/give. Due to the COVID situation, we're not in the studio to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online, kboo.fm. Support this program and all of the independent news, music, and public affairs that are so important to us all right now. Again, that's kboo.fm/give, or if you like, you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Now let's take a trip through the heart of the Willamette Valley. Back in 2014, I visited the 99W Drive-In Theater in Newburgh, Oregon, to talk with its third-generation owner. These days, the 99W, one of 3 surviving drive-in theaters still in Oregon, is doing better than ever. I'm in Newburgh, Oregon with Brian Francis, third-generation proprietor of the 99W Drive-In, and Brian, good to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you here too, and all the listeners out at KBOO. I hope that you enjoy our program tonight.
So you grew up in this place. Your grandfather started the 99W Drive-In back in 1953.
Yes, he did, 1953. Of course, I'm not that old. I'm 55, but My earliest memories would be like 101 Dalmatians or Lady and the Tramp or something. I was traumatized a bit by Goldfinger when the girl was spray painted with gold paint and passed away from that. That affected me when I was like 5 years old, growing up in a drive-in.
Well, one of the big features of the 99W is you have all of these theme nights. Like you'll have hearses show up one night. You'll have Edsel show up another one. VWs.
Corvettes.
People seem to be competing to outdo themselves with theme nights and parties.
They do. We have like a calendar that's open to any car club that wants to get in touch with us and say they're coming out.
So, you know, it's interesting to me that so many places have given up their drive-in theaters, and Oregon, which is not known for its great year-round weather, still has several drive-ins that are very popular.
Yes, it has four drive-ins. There hasn't been any closures of any of the drive-ins in Oregon since, about 2003 or two. Different story in Washington.
I'm going to talk to Al here if I get a chance to switch with you.
We're going
to
switch, Al.
Okay. So now I'm talking with Al Blodgett, who's been helping take tickets here at the 99W since, 1953.
Well, off and on, yes. Before that, because his grandfather was my first boss when I was about 12 years old. And that was before the drive-in theater.
So you started working the box office when you were 16. Must have been a dream come true for a teenager.
Really, my first job was helping clean the theaters and then as a projectionist. Yeah, it was and still is a good gathering place.
So what's changed about the place in 60-odd years?
Well, in the earlier years, you got into a lot more questionable stuff than you do today, just because people have changed. And like I say, it's more of a family operation. There was some wilder times out here, but not stuff you're going to put on the radio.
We're looking at a sign that says drive-in movie, removal of clothing prohibited at all times, compliments of Ringgold cinema equipment.
Those
very nice.
Those days are gone.
And of course, the other big thing is radio sound now versus sound that came out on speakers that you hung on your window.
Oh yeah, those things would always fall off
You forgot them and you drove off with them. In fact, there's one right here.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the original speakers. In those days, all of the grounds here was wired underground with wiring for the speakers on the posts, and there were also lights, small lights on all the posts to kind of let you know where they were at.
So I'm supposed to ask you about the mermaid.
Well, in one of my other worlds, I owned a restaurant here in town.
Fish Bucket.
And we did an advertising gimmick on the roof. We had a V sign on it that had a mermaid, and we used that as the outline of a sign pushing fish products. Well, the mermaid had a bare nipple, and as conservative as this town is, it set it on its ear. And we went nationwide on publicity on it.
That couldn't have hurt business.
Oh no, I had a huge weekend. In fact, my wife at the time left town. She wanted nothing to do with all the publicity.
But you keep on coming back to the Francis family and helping them out with all the people showing up and watching movies under the stars.
Yes, and you see, my last job, I retired as the fire chief here in town. So I kind of got back into this after I retired, and I had some free time to do what I wanted, if you know what I mean.
34.
Because I bring up some things that he hasn't heard about. And that makes it fun.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of going back to my roots.
Give me an example there.
Oh, okay. But two windstorms took the screen towers down here. And then a windstorm also took down the walls to the Twin Cinema as it was being built.
Yeah. Which screen crash?
Talking about here and
the
walls that came down for the Twin Cinema.
Oh, that was in 83, yeah.
And then they own the drive-in in McMinnville also, and that screen tower came down in the Columbus Day storm.
We have color home movies of all this stuff my grandfather took. 16mm color home movies.
Should project those sometime.
He does a lot of them to Cameo downtown.
Well, Al Blodgett, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Did I answer all your questions?
Well, and then some, you know, but feel free to suggest some more.
No, I think you're doing just fine. You're kind of driving the ship here and happy to try and help you out and make your program a little more successful.
Well, thanks again.
You bet, and thanks for coming out.
All right. Hey, Brian, should we go somewhere more out of the way or something? We could go up to the projection booth.
I actually would like to go check.
Okay, let's do that.
See if it's cooling properly. It must be cool. It must be dust-free.
So you have two theaters here. You have an indoor theater, the Cameo, and then sort of on a catwalk across the way, you have a projection booth that goes out to the outdoor screen, the drive-in screen.
Yes, we do. In downtown Newburgh is the Cameo Theater, built in 1937. And on this property, the drive-in was built in 1953. And the indoor twin cinema, which is still running 35mm film, built in 1983.
So we're here in the projection booth, and you have a sign that says 35mm movies, 1906 to 2013. So
that was made by a fan who makes hobby graveyards around his house, so he made me a tombstone. I can't speak Latin that well.
Requiescat in pace.
Yes, rest in pieces. A piece is what that means. But I confounded that prophecy because I still have one of the original 1953 35mm projectors hooked up, and it can run film. And that's what I do between shows, 35mm intermission reels.
Yeah, you're famous for your classic intermission short films that go back, well, you know, 60 years to when the drive-in started in some cases, or maybe not so far.
Yeah, there's an accumulation of trailers and things like that. You're not supposed to really do anything much with them after the film's out of release, but we put them on screen sometimes, movie trailers, and along with the snack bar intermission material that people are familiar with, you know, like in the movie Grease, the dancing hot dog, and that kind of thing.
You got some funding to go digital, though. You do have some digital projection.
Well, I guess you could call it funding. It was actually an initiative or a project from Honda Project Drive-In, where the American Honda Corporation came up with five digital projectors and awarded them, you might say, to drive-ins that got the most votes in a contest.
And you were one of those. You were very popular.
Yes, we were the only drive-in west of Texas that got one of those. We were the fifth of the first five that they came up with. There was only five originally, but then after this drive-in was awarded a projector, they had four more projectors, and four more drive-ins were saved that way. So I was a lucky recipient of one of those projectors, about a $65,000 piece of machinery.
So on your website, there's all sorts of rumors you're answering about the place closing and being turned into a shopping mall. I mean, you know, the real estate around here must be getting more and more valuable, so it must be tempting to give the place up.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of in my blood to be running it as a drive-in right now. But, yeah, I suppose if I was to face the best use of the land, music, one might conclude there's a better use for the land here. But we're almost on we were trying to get on the National Register of Historic Places, and that still might happen. So we'll go out in style if that ever does happen. Strangely, I'm able to get 35mm film still. I don't, there's only 4% of the industry now, according to Technicolor, who makes prints and distributes the film prints and digital prints. There's about 4% of theaters that are still running 35mm now.
I didn't know any of the Hollywood studios still allowed 35mm prints.
Well, they do. Some studios require an advance, front money, and they only make 35mm prints on the very big, largest, you know, tent pole type titles. Not all their titles, so it's limited what you can get anymore if you're going to stay running that type of projector.
So what kind of challenges do you deal with as a drive-in guy that a normal theater manager doesn't? I mean, there must be some wacky stuff that goes on at the drive-in theater. They're sort of notorious for that.
Well, they used to be more notorious for that in the 70s when they called them a passion pit and stuff like that. And then when the VCR was invented, though, that took care of a lot of the problem, because those kind of risque, kind of R-rated movies that they were running, like Crown International films and American AIP films that were more for the teenagers, you know, they stopped really making those for drive-ins. And then when there got to be so fewer drive-ins that movies weren't made for that kind of market, drive-ins just started running the top 10. Usually the best thing to run here would be family-oriented movies. They don't make Westerns anymore, so we don't run them anymore much. I would like to run Blazing Saddles someday if it was, but it's kind of, you know, questionable correctness to run that movie, but I might run it someday.
I would come and see Blazing Saddles.
Because everyone dumbs down in a drive-in. You know, stupider things are better in a drive-in like that.
So what do you think the future holds?
Well, from the looks of it tonight, pretty good in the summer months for what it's doing, running a drive-in and filling it up and selling a lot of tickets and a lot of snack bar stuff. Maybe more weekdays. I should probably examine being open more days of the week.
Well, you got a line of cars going out to the highway, yes. So that's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Well, Brian Francis, thanks for showing us around the 99W drive-in.
Yes, you're very welcome.
How can our listeners find out more about the drive-in?
Well, one good way is the website, 99W.com, or Friends of the 99W on our Facebook page. The administrators are all fans of the theater. When the Keep Portland Weird website picked us as Business of the Week 2 weeks ago, we got 500 likes overnight on that site. And that was instrumental in winning the digital projector from the Honda initiative. Or drive by, drive through Newburgh and look for the marquee. Or call us on the phone at 503-538-4479. And thank you for supporting KBOO Radio.
Thank you. And now back to the studio. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're visiting outdoor screenings in the age of COVID-19. And while everybody's enjoying this conversation today, I do want to remind our listeners that you can help keep this community media outlet strong. Donate today at kboo.fm/give. We are being cautious during this pandemic, so we're not in the station to take your calls right now. But you can show your support by giving online, kboo.fm. It's so easy to become a member of this long-standing independent media outlet that has brought so much joy and culture to this place we call home. Just go online to kboo.fm/give, or if you like, you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Well, at the top of the show, I spoke with Amy Theberg, owner of Revel Events, at one of the Cinema Unbound screenings on Portland's South Waterfront. Now let's get a little bit of history about those outdoor cinema events that the Northwest Film Center has been putting on for so many years. Back in 2015, Jen Chavez spoke with Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno about the Zydell Yards drive-in, as well as the Top Down Cinema Under the Stars in Southwest Portland.
I'm speaking with Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center about their outdoor summer programming at Zydell Yards. Can you tell me a bit about the scene there and how that went?
Yeah, it was the second year we've done this event. And it's a partnership with Zydell Corporation. And last year they approached our executive director, Bill Foster, with the notion of using their space down underneath or at the foot of the Ross Island Bridge to do events. And we bit, because why not? We love doing this stuff, and why not touch another audience? We put together a program last year. It was moderately successful, and then they approached us again. We did it this year. Went from sort of all 80s classics, except for Enter the Dragon. And it seemed to be even more successful.
What compelled you guys to participate in specifically a drive-in? You know, was it for nostalgic value, or is there something more?
I think there's definitely a nostalgic input to our participation in Zydell Yards. All of us are old enough to have at least experienced, even in childhood or maybe in adulthood, the event of going to a drive-in with our families, and how special that setting is, while also sort of knowing on a level that it's rather odd to sit in your car. Very American, though.
Very American.
To sit in your car and watch a movie. Yeah, it was a no-brainer. We jumped on it.
Well, we knew we would get a lot of attention for it just because it's such a unique experience, and then that gives us an opportunity to talk to the audience about whatever else we do here at the Northwest Film Center, our School of Film, or the rest of the exhibition program year-round.
It provided great exposure.
Nice. So, you know, in the midst of a wealth of summer outdoor screenings, you guys have both Top Down and the Zidel Drive-In that we've been speaking about. How do you find that a film or a viewing experience is enhanced by an outdoor setting? Do you think that the film interacts with the surroundings in a way, or how does it change the experience to watch something outdoors?
Occasionally, the two things come together. It's, you know, we're all, you know, hardcore cinephiles here, so we probably generally prefer our films in a black box with, you know, perfect sound and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
But it's so much fun, you know, it's a social event as much as it is a cinematic event. And it's, you know, both the Drive-In and Top Down are about as far away from the Northwest Film Center's mission as we get. But it's still film and it's still fun, so we think it's worthwhile.
Absolutely. It creates a party setting, and that's really, it is more event-based versus straight-up film-based content.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're pulling, you know, like the Film Center, like cinephile audience a little bit out of their shell, getting them into like this, you know, rooftop party atmosphere?
I think so. And the programming helps that a little bit, to kind of walk the line, to show a classic like Notorious might pull some of them out.
Oh, cool. And then they, you know, realize how great it is.
Exactly. And so
out,
much fun.
Come out,
yeah,
for the cult films.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I just wanted to ask quickly where people can go to find more information about any of your summer programming that you guys are offering now.
They can always head on over to nwfilm.org. We have information about all our programming there, and also all of our activity at the School of Film.
Thank you guys very much. I've been speaking with Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center. Nick and Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much.
Your continued patronage is very, very welcome.
You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. I'd like to thank our guests today, Amy Thieberg of Revel Events, as well as Brian Francis and Alan Blodgett of the 99W Drive-In, and Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration, and thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures, and be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.